The woman with the issue of blood. What happened to her? Well, when we look at the account, and you've heard this many times and you know this, can you believe this woman? She didn't aim to be in a Bible. She didn't aim to be in the Word of God. All she wanted was healed. And so what do we know about this woman? She heard something. She heard something. Having heard of Jesus, what did she hear? She heard something very specific. She heard that if you touch him, you can get healed. So when she heard that, she began to believe that. How do I know that? Because she began to say something. Remember, she said within herself, if I can but touch him, I will be whole. If I can but touch him. And remember what she did. She heard, obviously, at that time, Jesus was in one place at one time. He's everywhere today because he lives in us and because the Spirit of God is manifest everywhere today that they'll allow him to manifest. But she went and found him and she pushed through the crowd and she touched him. Everybody say she touched him. In other words, she heard something. She heard something specific. She believed something. She believed what she heard. She said something, and then she did something. She did something. She did something. So in my estimation, it's not enough to hear something. Faith does come by hearing, and hearing by the rhema Christos, by the written word of God, but it becomes a rhema. It becomes a spoken. It becomes a quickened word. In other words, we've been talking about it. How many of you know you've got to still hear from God? You've got the Logos, the written word of God, but the Bible says that faith, Romans 10:17, come on, you all know that one. Faith comes by and I believe that's two hearings, hearing here, and it does have to affect your soul, but believing is of the heart, and it's got to be a rhema. Well, I thought the Logos was enough. Well, you can't get a rhema without a Logos. You need the Logos. It's the belt. It holds it all together. But you need to hear from God. And I've been telling you this, and I've been preaching along these lines for 35 years. And I've watched a generation going into two generations being raised up. This is the trap. Hearing and hearing and hearing and not believing and not doing. Now watch. How do I know that others have heard the same thing this woman did? Because what were they doing? Touching him. Do you remember? They heard something. They thought, I'll try something. They might have even said something. And they did. Now look, because see, this is what a lot of people say. Well, faith doesn't work for everybody. No, it only works for those who believe. You don't get saved because you heard that Jesus is the Son of God. You don't even get saved on Easter because you heard the resurrection preached. You still have to receive salvation. Are you with me? Two groups of people. It looks exactly the same. And that's why there's a lot of people frustrated in the body of Christ. Well, I said it, and I even did it. But there was no power. There was no change. Well, it's right here what we're talking about. It has to do with your heart. Believing is of the heart. Yes, you must say. Yes, you must do, but it must be done, ooh, hallelujah, by faith. Just getting up and doing something without mixing it with faith won't work. Hallelujah. Because remember, they were all touching him. They all got in the prayer line. Some of you even fell out in the power and had the little nice usher, cloth on them. But they didn't get up healed. How is that possible, Pastor Mark? You've got to mix believing with it. Not just yielding to the Holy Ghost. Right? She heard something specific. It became rhema. Listen to me. She is an old covenant woman, even though she's written about in the New Testament. Hebrews 11 is full of what kind of people? What kind of people? But yeah, they're faith people, right? Where do they come from? The Old Testament. This has always worked this way. hearing something from God, believing something from God, saying and or doing something from God. It's always worked this way. I'm trying to tell you this because you of all the people on the planet, plus another, you know, how many of you and I should be like, this is so exciting. This is so good because we have an advantage that Moses didn't have. We have an advantage. Joshua took the land, but we've got something that Joshua didn't have. Number one, Abraham, the father, Sarah, the mother of our faith, they believed God and it was written about them, but we have something they didn't have. We have the Holy Ghost, the teacher, living on the inside of us. And he'll work with you while you're receiving the things of God that are yes and amen. This shouldn't be harder for us than it was for Abraham and Sarah. This should be easier. Why are we making it so hard? But you see, I think what's going on is this other group, like with the woman with the issue of blood, because they were all touching him. And Jesus said what? Why do you think he said, who touched me? Because I think he wanted this, A, this woman recorded forever. But B, he wanted everybody to know it's not just the touch. It's not just the action. It's not just the saying. There's a difference between y'all, you're just annoying. I don't mean that wrong, but they were trying to get something. Please, I need healed. How was your spring break? You all had a good time? Good. Okay. They didn't get anything. How frustrating is that to do everything right and get nothing? How frustrating is that to do everything right and get nothing? But see, they really weren't doing everything right because they forgot the believing part. They were given mental assent. They agreed that it was right because they acted. Are you hearing me? They agreed that it was right because they tried it. Y'all either thinking it really a lot or you're like, what are you, because for me, for you, the Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick. That's a future tense thing. But if you've tried something, faith is not a formula. I don't care who says that it is. It's not a formula. When the word is spoken, it's got to become rhema to you. Yes, you need to say it. Oh, you need to say it. You need to believe it in your heart and you need to do it. And so that's why we're talking about this stuff because I just been asking the Lord, I want to help you. So we looked at some things. Now, faith is of the heart. And so we looked at, you know, really two big things. And I used to teach them, run them together. We're going to talk about doubt and unbelief. We're going to get back into that. Unbelief is really a decision not to believe. Do you remember Thomas? We call him what? We call him Doubting Thomas. But really, if you study him out, he's not going to have this label in heaven. Aren't you glad you're not going to be known for your mistakes in heaven either? How many of you know if there's hope for Thomas, there's hope for you? Come on, if there's hope for Peter, there's hope for you. Come on, those are some of the two biggest mess ups. Come on, right? But listen to me. Thomas said, unless I can touch him, unless I can put my fist through his side, unless I can put my fingers through his hand, I will not believe. Now, aren't you grateful? Even when someone's stiff-necked like that, the Lord said, all right, do it. The Lord's not trying to keep people away. He's trying to get everybody in. But we're just identifying unbelief. Remember the children of Israel, the first group that were supposed to go into the promised land. How many of you know the only reason they were kept out is because of an evil report of unbelief? And notice God calls it evil. It's not acceptable, it's evil. It's evil. That's why you got to treat unbelief. It's as bad as cussing, probably worse. Because unbelief says, I refuse to believe that. And the Bible calls it evil because that evil report of I refuse to believe that kept them out of the promised land. Unbelief is when someone hears that Jesus is the Son of God raised from the dead and they say, I don't believe that. That's unbelief. And so unbelief, the only cure for that, remember Jesus went and he preached and he marveled at their unbelief. And what did he do? He went into their villages preaching and teaching. The only thing that is a cure for unbelief is what? Being taught the word of God. The word of God, the spoken word of God, the ministry of the word of God is the only thing. And so how do we pray for someone in unbelief? I pray the eyes of their understanding would be flooded with light. I command the God of this world to take the blinders off of them so that when the light of the glorious gospel comes, they'll be able to receive it. Remember, even Paul said this. Remember when he was Saul? You remember what he was doing? How many know he thought he was God's man? You remember what he thought he was doing? God a favor. He was getting rid of the sect called the Way. Right? He stood there and approved, probably even instigated, when Stephen was stoned. But remember what he said. I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. So unbelief and ignorance go together. How many know we don't have to be ignorant anymore? But there is no excuse for being ignorant. God doesn't wink and nod at it. Especially today, there is no reason for anybody on planet Earth to be ignorant of God's word. All right? So that's unbelief. Now, I understand that in different times, you can have unbelief. I remember when I first came into the things of God, I had a problem with money because I used to be an accountant. When I found out God wanted a tithe from me, I didn't like it. T-I-T-H-E, tithe. Didn't even know what it was. And I used to take up the offering in the church that I was part of. I was the treasurer, but I didn't know what a tithe was. And I didn't like that he wanted it. Because I couldn't live on 100%. I don't know how you think I'm gonna live on 90. I was an accountant. And I couldn't live on 90. You've heard the story. My mom sent me $30 a week back in that day, which was a long, long time ago, and I went to Kroger and I spent $30 a week. I had it all planned out. If they changed anything by a penny or two, I was in trouble. And that's how I ate. And then when I found, God came back to the Lord and found out, so I had some unbelief there. That's unbelief. I don't believe you can do that. I don't believe if I give you 90%, you're going to take care of me. So I'm going to keep it. Thank you. There's no reason to give it if I don't believe. I didn't give it out of guilt. I didn't give it because somebody told me to. I didn't believe it. Now, when I first came in, healing, you said that. I believe that. Other people, when they come in, if you've heard that healing is not the will of God, healing's not forever, you can be in unbelief in that. And what's the cure for unbelief? Being taught. So when I was taught and taught and taught, why do you all spend so much time around money in here? We don't spend time on money here. We spend time on the word. It's not the word. You don't like the word? You're not going to like us. Praise the Lord. So that's unbelief. I would gather to say most of you, after you've been here a while, unbelief is not your problem. Although it can creep back in. It can be from your history, can be from what you have been taught. But let's look at it. Let's look at doubt again. Doubt is, it's from the word diakrino. And only diakrino is only used two times in the New Testament. And so there's diakrino. Then the other word that is destazo, D-I-S-T-A-Z-O. And that means to waver. It means to hesitate. It means to be of two opinions. So you've got doubt. You've got doubt means to withdraw from, to hesitate. So these two words, diakrino, to withdraw from, to hesitate, to stagger, to waver. And then you've got distazo. It means to waver in opinion, to be of two opinions, to be of two mindsets. And that's what doubt is. Now, I said this before, I'm going to say it again, and I hope you understand. When someone's doubting, it's not the absence of faith. When someone is in unbelief, there is an absence of faith because you either choose to believe God or you choose to not believe. You either if you're in unbelief, there is no faith present. But when you doubt, that means you start out. Remember we talked about, how many remember Peter walking on the water? Yes. Come on, that's pretty cool. What'd he say? Lord, if that's you, bid me to come. What'd Jesus say? Come on. And so when he was walking on the water, but then this is what happened. He began to see, how many of you know Peter has never seen anyone walk on water before? Peter is a fisherman, and Peter knows you can't even walk on, let alone walk on the water in the storm. You can't walk on it when it's flat. He's out walking on the water, but this is what happened. The winds and the wave came, and they were hitting him in the face. Now, he's walking on the water, but the waves, nothing changed. The storm didn't, when Peter got on the water, doves didn't start flying by. Birds didn't start chirping. It wasn't anything like that. He's walking on the water in the middle of a storm, and a wave smashes him in the face. And what does he do? He does what you and I do on a very regular basis. He began to doubt, what in the world are you doing? And he got his eyes off of the word come. He got his eyes off of Jesus, and he began to look at the circumstances. And doubt came. Now, let me ask you this. Was he in faith? Yes. See, this is what happens to you and me. When it comes to things that you and I are believing for. Now, I don't know. I've never had this happen to me. Once I came back to the Lord, I've really never doubted that I was born again. I really never doubted that everything was right between me and God. Now, I can honestly tell you that there are days I wake up, I don't feel saved or sanctified or feel like being nice. It'd just be much easier to be rude. But I don't go by my feelings. Amen? I don't have to feel saved. I like it when I feel saved, but I don't have to feel saved. I really firmly believe that. Now, other people do have, when they first get born again, they struggle with it. But that doesn't mean they weren't saved. It means doubt is trying to come in and steal from them. And in the same way, Peter was walking on the water, but remember Jesus said to him, after, how many know he was sinking? Everybody say, help me, Jesus. As long as you say it in faith instead of just out of your head, I believe that's a good prayer. Help me, Jesus. There are times in my life that's about all I could get out. And I meant it. Help me, Jesus. How many know he's there? And what did he do with Peter? He grabbed him, stabilized him, and on the water, they had a little chat. I believe firmly the Lord put him back on the water because the last thing he wanted to remember was the water under his feet. The Lord is not trying to make this hard, y'all. We do. He said, help me. The Lord got him, and then the Lord, he didn't let him off the hook. He didn't say, oh, attaboy. That's not what he did. It wasn't an attaboy moment, but it was this. I know there's some word of faith people that they would get really upset on the way I preach this. Because I've heard it really hard. And, you know, the Lord was angry with him. He didn't say that. He said, the Lord said to him, why did you doubt? Why did you have little faith? Let's just examine the word little. Was he walking on water? Have you ever walked on water? No? Who else had walked on water? He was doing the same thing Jesus did. Jesus was doing it by faith. Well, he did it because he's the Son of God. No, he did it by faith. I guess he needed to get somewhere, and that was the only way to get there. I don't know. You don't know. He was doing it. And if Peter did it by faith, Jesus did it by faith, because everything Jesus did was by faith. And he said to him, oh, ye of little faith. Little faith meaning there, why did your faith only last a little while? I think, y'all, that is our problem. It's easy on a Sunday morning, on a Wednesday night. Woo, that saturation meeting we had on the 10th. Was that just last week? Wow. It's easy to walk out of here. I believe I can walk on water. All my debts are paid. Glory to God. It's in the presence of God. The band was, the singers, the presence of God was just amazing. Angels were here. They really were. Lots of stuff going on. But then when you get out there and you get slapped in the face, it didn't mean you were never in faith. But when you yield to the doubt, what happens to your faith? It doesn't work at all. It's not the absence of faith. The doubt overshadows your faith and it won't work. That's why if you're in doubt, that's why this is really important. Are you all with me? Well, Pastor Mark, are you gonna help me? I'm gonna, hallelujah. Matthew 28. I'm not gonna help you, the Holy Ghost is gonna help you. Well, it's helping me. Listen, this is a problem and it's a regular problem. Are you with me? I said this is a problem and it's a regular problem. Maybe not so much unbelief after we get going, but doubt is available every day because circumstances are available all around us. People flapping their gums. The devil sending, when you're believing God for something, the devil makes sure he sends you a relative who reminds you about Uncle Fred and Aunt Sally and somebody at work will tell you why it won't work. I remember when I tried to start this church and I had my car break down and I had to go to this place to get it fixed with money I didn't have. And the woman that was there who was waiting on me, I don't know why she needed to know all my business, but she wanted to know everything about me, where I was from and what I was going to do. And she told me most assuredly the kind of church that I was about to start would never work in Huntsville, Alabama. She said they pop up and they're here for a month or two. And that may be the case, but man, she had me wavering. Maybe God sent her, you know? I found out she was a false prophet. Hallelujah. Anyway, and so here Jesus is resurrected. Well, if I could just see Jesus, if he would just appear to me. No, all you need is a word. It needs to be a rhema word, but all you need is a word. All Peter had was come. And he was able to do it. But the circumstances came. Look at this. It says the 11 disciples went away into Galilee. Matthew 28:16. They don't have my scriptures. So Matthew 28:16. Then 11 disciples went away to Galilee to a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. They did what? But he's raised from the dead and they're worshiping him. And this is of the 11 who he's already appeared to and upbraided because of their unbelief at first. I mean, they saw the thing with Thomas. And what are you kidding me? They're worshiping him and some of them doubted. Y'all, this is a common occurrence. And if you ignore it, it's not an absence of faith. It's doubt that gets in that will overshadow your faith and cause it not to work. I want you to see this is common. All right, now let's get at it. You ready for today's message? Let's see if we can get to it. James chapter 1. I've learned to review with the best of them. Hallelujah. Some of my heroes in faith are great reviewers. James 1. It's talking about falling into temptations. The trying of your faith works patience. Let patience have her perfect work. And then when you're going through that, ask for wisdom. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, verse 5, that he give liberally to all men. So the will of God, you're going through a test. You're going through something you don't understand. The devil's beating you up. You're going through diverse temptations. You're being tempted. What do you need? The wisdom of God. Let you ask. And then it says, if you'll ask, the Lord will give it to you liberally, and he won't even make fun of you. It's what a braid means. He won't chastise you. He wants you to come ask. What does that mean? He understands you and I don't know everything. He knows you and I don't understand everything. And so wisdom is knowledge applied. And so and understanding. So he needs you to get wisdom, and you get that from understanding, from the knowledge of the Word of God. He said, but let him ask, verse 6. Verse 6 says, let him ask. I sought the Lord. I ask. Nothing wavering. That word, there's the wavering. There's the distazo, to waver, to be of two opinions. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. You know this, for he that wavers is like what? A wave of the sea driven and with the wind and tossed. So let him ask in faith, but you can't have any doubt. You can't have any wavering. You can't be of two opinions. You can't be of two mindsets. Why? Because you can't receive from the Lord like that. For let not, verse 7 says it pretty clear. For let not that man think that he will receive how much? But it is not a lack of faith. It is not that faith was not present. You were not unbelieving. You believe something. You ask him in faith, or you wouldn't ask at all. You believe he would hear you. You believe he would answer. But as he does, then what happens? Then the circumstances, in this case, the testing, the trying, the temptations are still beating you in the head. But you got to hold steady. You got to hold fast. You got to keep your mind on the written. You got to keep your mind on the rhema. You got to keep your mind on what God says. Because if you don't, then you become a person of two mindsets. Healing is a good example. It's easy to come to church or go to healing school, and I believe that I receive. And yes, it's the will of God to heal everybody. Now, don't be going around asking people why haven't they received their healing. You can't be that stupid. Just be worried about you. Why ain't worried? You know what I meant. Just be concerned about you. Don't get up in everybody else's business. You can't even handle your own. Why didn't this happen? Why? See, it don't work. You don't know. You don't know. Lord, help me. Let that man not think anything that he'll receive anything of the Lord. Are there reasons? There's always reasons, but they're not for you to find out for you. I mean, you just find out for yourself. You don't find out everybody else's reason. I've had people come to me, oh my gosh, I'm going to be a little pastoral right now. Is that all right? Turn the mail a few. Well, I thought they were believing God. Well, you heard what they said publicly. I heard what they said privately. And it's really none of your business what they said privately. Are there reasons that people don't receive healing? It's the will of God that everybody be healed. But do people receive their healing? Not everybody does, because of this very thing. But if they prematurely and die, go to heaven, if that's the worst that the devil can do, then what of it? In a blink of an eye, you're going to join them. Even if that's 30 or 40 years, to them, they'll be like, oh, I just got here. What are you doing here? Come on, y'all. Listen, are you listening to me? Should you get your healing? Yes. Should you walk in prosperity? Yes. Should you walk in peace? Yes. But you don't judge what you got based on what someone else did or didn't get. Thank God for good testimonies, but just a person's testimony without any word in it is not going to get you healed either. And you copying them is not going to get you healed. It's not going to get you blessed. It's not going to get you anything. Unless they give you the word. That's why I like our healing school. Because you're going to get the word only. That's why we try to give you here. Because the word is where you got to put your faith. Let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. Y'all believe in God with me? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He can't receive anything of the Lord. Why? Because his faith doesn't work? No. His faith does work. But he or she has let doubt come in. And doubt has faith and doubt don't. Well, if you just had a little bit of faith and a little bit of doubt, they'd balance each other out. That's not the way this works. You have to have your faith going when doubt comes in. Why? How do I know that? Because Peter began to doubt. And the moment he doubted, his faith ceased to work. And then he yelled, help me, Jesus. And Jesus picked him back up and told him where he missed it. Aren't you glad the Lord will help you with where you missed it? Yes. Just won't leave you hanging. He'll tell you where. A double-minded man, a man with two opinions. In other words, at church, I tell you one thing, but at home, when it's just us, let me tell you how I really feel. When I'm at work and everybody else is talking doubt and unbelief, And everybody else said, well, you know, God can, but yeah. I remember one time we were at a minister's meeting, and, you know, it was a long time ago, and everybody, you know, kind of was just starting out, and they were talking about money, and they were talking about, you know, the church finances. And they were I think it was back, I don't know how many years ago. It was a long time ago. It must have been 25 years ago. And it was kind of, whenever it was kind of during a recession time. And they were talking about, these are men of God and women of God who are full of faith and have the same thing signed by the same man that I do. And they were talking about how hard it was and how bad it was and how the money's drying up and everything. And then they got to talking to me. And they said, well, how's it going with you? And I just kind of like, because it was going really great. And we were increasing. And God was moving. And we were believing God because we believed the blood of Jesus kept us free from recession. We believed it. Had a word, we believed it, and we were increasing. And they came to me, and so I didn't want to act like I was doing better than them. And so I said to them, yeah. You know, and I said, well, we're doing pretty good. And they said, well, it's because you live in Huntsville. Because there's lots of engineers there and everybody makes a lot of money. And I said, well, yeah, that probably has something to do with it. And that's what I did. And then I'll never forget turning and walking away. And the Holy Ghost said to me, is that what you believe? I said, no, sir. No, sir. That is not what I believe. And I haven't done it since. I'm not going to get out. I'm not going to get in doubt or make somebody else feel better. If I believe something, I'm going to tell you something. If you believe something, you say something. You're not here to make sure they're okay. Especially if this is life or death or whatever it is. You tell them what the word says. If they don't understand, you know, or either that or just, you know, get out of the conversation and walk away and then say to God what you believe. A double-minded man is unstable. I'll never forget that. Is that what you believe? No, sir. It's not what I believe. He worked with me. He didn't take away the blessing. We didn't crash next month. Well, you did something wrong. Did the offerings go down? No, they didn't. Are you with me? Well, I said something wrong. I've said a lot of something's wrong. I said a lot of things I don't believe. I fix it on the spot. Some of you are new to the area, and they'll try to talk you into allergies. They will. They'll try to talk you into it. They'll report it on the weather even. I don't know what has anything to do with the weather, but they'll report it on the weather. They've all got it, and they want you to have it. And you live in a valley, and you have to take it if you want to be in Huntsvillian. But you resist it. Praise the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable. Help us, Lord. Here we go. I don't want to be unstable. A man with two mindsets. Let's look at this. I'm going to take you to some strange places that you may not think. It's all in the Word. I'm not going to take you anywhere that's not in the Word. Romans chapter 14. I want you to look at something with me. Romans chapter 14. You everybody good? Thanks for helping me this morning. Now, just stick with me. Romans 14, we're going to look at verses 19 through 23 in the King James. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. Now, y'all stick with me. For meat, verse 20, for meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine nor anything whereby a brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. Have you faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he that condemns not himself in the thing which he allows. Verse 23. And he that doubts is damned if he eat, because he eats not in faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now here, looky here, this is what's going on. Now you and I are blessed because there's no temples around where people are sacrificing things to. And they sacrifice meat offerings to them. And I'm not getting into the fact of what you can eat or don't eat. But as for me, everything that is set in front of me, I believe I can sanctify it with the word of God and prayer and eat it on up. I don't live under the old covenant, but listen to me. If I was having dinner with you and pork offends you, I probably would not. No, I wouldn't. If I really knew that and it really bothered your conscience, I wouldn't order ribs that night. I'd go home, and if I had any at home, I'd eat them if I wanted to. Drinking wine. One of the reasons our leadership team does not drink wine and partake of wine in the public is because most people, if you ask them, they believe drinking still in Alabama is a sin. And it bothers people. And you don't know who can turn into an alcoholic or not turn into an alcoholic. So we just choose to refrain. That's on you. But my point in this, I'm not talking about, but here we've got somebody, they're doing something, and to one person, it's offensive. It bothers their conscience. To Paul, he's like, we can't let that T-bone go to waste. I don't care where they put it. Grill it up, I'll eat it. But he did that on his own. If he was sitting with someone that had offended, it bothered their conscience because they thought there was something to that idol. He didn't do it. And to people, now look on the other side. If it really bothered them and they did it because they were eating with the Apostle Paul and they wanted to be like him, but it really bothered them, to them that's sin. Not to Paul, because he didn't make them do it. They didn't say anything. But to them, it's sin. Why? Why? Because they're eating in doubt. And the Bible says, this is really strong, it brings damnation. What does it have to do with anything, Pastor Mark? Doubt, everything you and I do, we got to do by faith. Anytime we let doubt get in it, public opinion, what we believe gets messed up, part tradition, part God, gets all messed up in there. And if you do anything in doubt, any hesitation, anything with two mindsets, in other words, you do one thing at church and you do another thing at home. You do it because you want to fit in or whatever. That's what this is talking about. So doubt anywhere, but this is the reason I brought it up, is this is really strong. And he uses food as an example, but you can't do anything with doubt in your heart because it brings, he said, damnation, which means really you're just not going to be walking in the blessings and the benefit of God, even although the promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Doubt. What's the cure for that? Well, you either stick with your conscience or you get your conscience clean by looking at the word of God and understanding what your right and privileges are. You can't do what Paul does because you're not, that's the revelation that Paul has. But you got to do what you need to do. Amen. All right. I hope I didn't mess up anybody. Let's look at Jude 22 and 23. Amplified Classic. This is going to be fun. Jude, I thought y'all could handle these. On a Sunday morning. This may be a Wednesday night bunch, but you're a Sunday morning bunch at Cornerstone. Our Sunday morning bunch is just as good as any Wednesday night bunch anywhere. Jude 1:22. And refute as to convict some who dispute with you, and on some have mercy who waver and doubt. So I want you to see here. No, just keep there. So I want you to see that when someone is having doubt. He's talking about doubt. You all are more familiar. Let's go ahead and look at it. You all are more familiar with 23. Strive to save others, snatching them. Oh, would you like to snatch people? Snatch them out of the fire, and others take pity, but with fear, loathing even the garment spotted by the flesh and polluted by their sensuality. So this is even talking about, so verse 22 is talking about those that are having doubts. Verse 23, you're talking about unbelievers. So it's interesting, even in Jude, that when this is written, he's saying there's a difference between doubt, there's a difference between unbelief. If someone's in unbelief, you got to snatch them out of it and take pity on them, but you need to have some, with some fear, some reverence and understanding what's going on. But verse 22 says when someone's in doubt, let's have some compassion on them because they're just wavering. I don't know that they need yelled at all the time. I think they need more encouragement. They need more. That's why I believe this is what Jesus did when he was talking to Peter. He encouraged him. You had faith. It only lasted a little while this time, but let's next time, let's see it all the way through. Come on, if the Lord wanted to leave us alone, they would have left us alone in the garden. But even with Peter, after he denied Jesus three times, I don't know him, I don't know him, I don't know him, Jesus did not leave him alone. He got him back in faith. And even met him where he was. Remember? Do you agape me? You know I phileo. You agape me? You know I phileo. Okay, do you phileo? Yes, you know that's where I'm at. He even meets you where you're at. He's not trying to withhold. Okay? Let's look at this one. How many believe John the Baptist was a mighty man of God? Come on, I mean, mama and daddy. Daddy sees an angel. Daddy can't talk. Elizabeth's there. Mary, her cousin, walks in. John the Baptist is filled with the Holy Ghost in the womb. That's a story. My mama prophesied to your mama. Your mama prophesied all at my house. They were cousins. But you remember the day. Because who was John? He was a weird dressed fellow who ate weird things. One day, the same spirit that showed John who he was, Jesus was walking by, even though that was his cuz. He was walking by, and suddenly that day he was in the spirit as he was baptizing people. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I baptize you with water unto repentance, but his sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire." And then Jesus said, "You got to baptize me." He said, "Woo, this is a big deal." And after he baptized Jesus in water, he saw, some people, the Holy Ghost is not a dove. He descended like Jesus on a dove. And God the Father said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased." How many of you know John the Baptist was right in the middle of all that? Matthew chapter 11, verse 2. Matthew 11, 2. Now when John had heard in prison, so where's John? How come John's in prison? Because he told Herod, "You're a scoundrel of a man." What kind of preacher was John? Hellfire and brimstone. Right? He called it like he saw it. He was not a love preacher. He was a get right with God preacher. Repent. Right? Repent. Now Jesus was a love preacher. I don't have time. Jesus didn't just preach on love. That wasn't his main subject. His main subject was the kingdom of God. What did Jesus really preach? So when John heard that in prison, so he's in prison. How many of you know prison life is probably not fun? In the prison, he heard the prison, the works of Christ. He sent two of his disciples. And he said to them, said through them to Jesus, Are you the one that should come? Or should we look for somebody else? Behold, the Lamb of God, Holy Ghost, this is my beloved Son. His circumstances so changed. And if you want to interpret this any other way, you go ahead and try. Are you the one? What is that? That's doué. That's the prison, everything going on, trying to persuade him to get in doubt. He at least had enough sense to send to Jesus. I need you to tell me one more time. Are you him? Or should we look for somebody else? Y'all, we all deal with doubt. Jesus probably didn't, but the rest of us, all y'all. John the Baptist did. And Jesus went on later. Anyway, verse 4. Jesus answered, said unto them, "You go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight." And really, this is right out of Isaiah. And John would know this. This is really right out of Isaiah. "The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have been the gospel preached to them." Verse 6. "And blessed is he, whoever shall not be offended in me." What does that mean? I believe Jesus is picking up this, even though he knows he's the Lamb of God, that it didn't go exactly, because a lot of them were like, have you come to restore the kingdom? In other words, I didn't really think if I got so bold and told them all that, I really didn't think I was about to lose my life in a prison. Maybe that's what was going on. We don't really know. There's a lot of supposition here, but what I do know is he was in doubt. And the Lord didn't say, well, you big John, I of all the people, I am not going to talk to you about this again. If you want to doubt and do without, you know, go ahead. Although you can do doubt and do without. But he didn't leave him there. And I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is not going to leave you there either. He's going to get you what you need so you can get back in faith. The circumstances are going to come and smack you in the face. This prison was smacking him in the face. His torture was smacking him in the face. His head to get severed from his body was smacking him in the face. And he said, are you really the one? And Jesus didn't say, I'm not going to talk to you about this. He said, you go back and tell him this. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and to the poor the gospel is preached. And blessed is he, so you get to choose now, John. Don't be offended. It didn't go the way you wanted it or maybe thought it should. And I'm maybe not the same kind of preacher you are, but I'm still the Christ. I'm still the one. I'm still the Messiah. And so I believe John chose wisely, but the Lord helped him. Can you see that? Can you see that? So this is what I'm telling you. It's not that is doubt going to try and come. I showed you. It comes. But you don't have to stay there. And I don't have to stay there. And I'm looking for the signs of it. How can I tell? Well, you know, Luke. Do you remember that one? Verse 45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will do what? Speak or leak. You'll find really what you believe is what leaks. You're supposed to put a guard over your mouth. I know you're supposed to train your mouth. But really, in the situations when the pressure comes, what you believe is what leaks out. Because that's the abundance. Now, if something leaks out that you're not happy with, you don't have to sit down and cry. You can get more word in you, and you can decide, I will not doubt about this. I will not hesitate. This is what God says. Abraham and Sarah. Now, this is unbelief and doubt working to, you know, it really talks about both of them. But in Romans chapter 4, verse 19, I believe. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body. Because doubt comes, you want to consider how you feel. You want to consider what you see. You want to consider what your bank account says. You want to consider what your spouse says. You want to consider what your boss said. You want to consider what the economist said. You're considering. But being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body or the circumstances, and because he's 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Verse 20. How can you tell? So doubt comes, but how do you do it? I'm not going to consider you. You're always considering something, right? You're always considering something, but you got to decide what I'm going to consider, what I'm not going to consider. And he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Do you got any promises of God? So I'm going to consider the promise of God. I'm not going to stagger in unbelief. I'm going to be strong in faith, giving glory to God. So one of the ways you can tell if doubt has crept in by your praise, by your words, by what are you saying, by what are you doing, what are you thankful about? It leaks out. But you know, if it leaks out and it's negative or it's wrong, you don't have to sit down and cry and say this doesn't work. You get back in the Word, you get full of the Word, and you keep on going. You ask the Holy Ghost to teach you. You ask the Holy Ghost to help you. Well, I wish Jesus was right here like he was with John. I wish he'd send me something. Well, he sent you a whole lot. And he lives on the inside of you. And he'll bring back the word to your remembrance. And he'll help you. Hallelujah. Another thing, this is the big one for me. Remember, rest in God. When you believe something is a place. remember the children of Israel, they couldn't enter into rest because, and there's some of these similar between unbelief and doubt, but they couldn't enter in because they didn't believe God. But remember, he said to us, there's a place called rest. And rest doesn't just mean on Sunday you don't do any work. That's not what that's not New Testament Sabbath. The New Testament Sabbath is talking about what? It's talking about a place of faith, a place of rest in God. When you really believe you've received from God and there's no doubt present, you're at rest. You're resting on the promises of God. You're resting on what the Word of God said. You're at rest. Those are all evidences of whether you're in doubt or whether you're in faith. It's important. It's important to understand these things. And you and I have to make sure that we just decide, you know what, I'm not gonna halt between two opinions. I'm not gonna, because remember in the old covenant, he said that. Why do you halt between two opinions? If I'm God, serve me. If this is the word, let's believe the word. If God said he would do this, then let's believe that. But I'm trying to tell you today is, doubt comes. And I think, I'm not trying to get you to focus on it. I just want you to be aware of it. That it's not the same as unbelief. It's not the absence of faith. It's a circumstance. It's a word from someone. It's a report. That's what people ask me all the time. Pastor Mark, believe with me for a good report from the doctor. And I get people get mad at me. But why would I do that? Well, because I want you to, because I want it to say what I want it to say. Well, what if it doesn't? You gonna quit? Well, we gotta eventually get a good report. Now, somebody gonna get mad. I watch movies. Have you ever seen that movie with Queen Latifah? Where she got that bad report. And then she went to that place in Europe and spent all her money and lived large. No, I know you didn't. I'm not saying follow Queen Latifah's life, all right? I'm just saying the movie was harmless and it amused me. She thought she was dying and the report was wrong. You can't live by somebody else's report. Yeah, okay, the doctor's report eventually. I want that too, but you can't let anything move you. Pastor watches Queen Latifah movies. Glory. Yes, and my favorite show is Living Single, so get over it. All right. Lord help me. Y'all let go. Somebody let go. Come on, get back with me. Get back with me. Hallelujah. All right. Doubt's all around you. You don't have to stay there. Don't stay there. It's all around you. It happens to John the Baptist. It happened to Peter. It happens to them. Sarah obviously was in doubt a long, long time. But we can get out of it and we can just walk on the water all the time. Amen.